Welcome to Four Down Territory. As Stink and Mike take a look at the four biggest stories in Denver sports. Here's Schlereth and Evans kicking it off with First Down.
There we go. Happy Monday morning, everybody. Hope you had a fantastic weekend. We kick it off with news that maybe you're waking up to this morning. Russell Wilson is going to sign with the Pittsburgh Steelers. A one-year deal, veteran minimum, about $1.2 million, which is a great deal for the Steelers because the Broncos will pay the remaining $37.8 million due Russell Wilson this year. Russell Wilson laughing all the way to the bank. But he goes to Pittsburgh, and this is a team that went 10-7 last year with Kenny Pickett, Mason Rudolph, and Mitch Trubisky. It's figured that Russ will be battling with Kenny Pickett for the job. But if that group of quarterbacks would go 10-7, could Russell Wilson, if he wins the job, win 10 games or more in Pittsburgh?
Oh, absolutely.
In that division. Joe Burrow returning. Deshaun Watson returning.
Yeah. Well, I don't know that Deshaun Watson helps anything, but they've got to fight against Jerry Jeudy. He's with Cleveland now.
That's right.
Listen, as long as they have that stellar defense and they can pressure and Watt is healthy and they run the ball exceptionally well and set up their play action stuff, could he? Yes. Theoretically, could he win 10 games? Absolutely. If he can beat out Kenny Pickett. I don't know that that's a guarantee.
Well, Kenny Pickett was a first-round draft pick, so... You know, if you got a first-round draft pick at quarterback, you are set.
That's right.
I mean, this is just a contingency.
That's right. Look at what happened to Baker Mayfield this weekend.
He did. Hey, congratulations. Took five teams, but he finally got it done.
This is not a drill.
Yeah.
This is not a drill. That's right. This is not a drill. Baker Mayfield is staying with Tampa. 3 years, $100 million.
Yeah.
$110 million with, I think, $100 million of a guarantee.
$33 million bucks a year.
Yeah.
For Baker.
Not good for him.
I'm excited for Baker. Went from playing defensive end in the Carolina Panthers scout team to making $33 million. Good for him.
Yeah, I'm sure the Cleveland Browns fans are sitting back going, hey, yeah, we could take that as a win. We drafted him after all.
That's right. First round.
Second down.
Guy in the first round. It'll work out.
Jerry Jeudy traded to the Cleveland Browns for a fifth and sixth round pick, but also the Broncos get out from underneath the $13 million that they would have owed him this season. That's some salary cap space. Here were wide receivers drafted after Jerry Jeudy in 2020. Prepare to be sick.
All right.
Jerry went 15. Mm-hmm. CeeDee Lamb went 17 to Dallas. Justin Jefferson went 22 to Minnesota. Brandon Ayuk went 25 to San Francisco. T. Higgins went 33 to Cincinnati. Michael Pittman went 34 to Indy.
Wow. My goodness. But I'm sure it wasn't Jerry Jeudy's fault. It was they didn't have the right offensive coordinator. They didn't have, you know, I mean, hey, well, Sean tried to sabotage Russ. So, I mean, that's apparent.
I get what you're saying about that he could have been a better professional and that he did and said some things that you're not sad to see him go. But how is it, because I'm catching some flack from you and I'm catching some flack from listeners giving Jeudy a bit of a pass. How is it that you can say constantly wide receivers play a dependent position and then not think that the horrible run of quarterbacks and offensive coordinators that we've had here over the years doesn't somehow filter down and affect him? Of course it does.
Jeudy.
If they play a dependent position, then the people that they're dependent on, if they stink, well, of course that's going to impact the way that they play.
It shouldn't impact the way they play. It'll impact their numbers.
All right.
But it shouldn't impact the way they play.
And I agree with you there. And I'm meeting you halfway. But I don't put it this way. I don't pin it all on Jeudy.
I pin the fact that he won't block people and he runs crappy secondary routes. I pin 100% of that. And that, you know, he goes and goes catchless. And say, well, I guess I got my conditioning in. And then he drops 17 balls and acts like it's somebody else's fault.
You're not that guy, pal.
T-U-R-D. See ya later.
third down.
Well, see you later.
Well, if you're looking for the ultimate endorsement, seal of approval on what the Avalanche did at the trade deadline, listen to one Nathan MacKinnon.
You know, I thought we had a solid team, but you know, it didn't feel. I don't know. It just didn't feel right sometimes, and now it feels awesome. Super excited, super motivating. All you really want is a chance. We feel like the front office has given us a great chance with this roster, and really excited about the moves we made.
There you go. And remember, it was Nathan MacKinnon who, before this season began, said, "Yeah, I never felt like we had the right roster."
Let me ask.
Last
you.
Year,
right?
And so, if you're looking for a real pulse of the team, where the pulse of the team is, you're gonna get a pretty straight no chaser with MacKinnon. So for him to endorse these moves like this makes me feel pretty good moving forward.
You don't think? I mean, if he didn't like him, he wouldn't say it, right? What would he say?
He would have said something loaded with cliches that would have been a tepid, lukewarm endorsement of the moves that were made.
But this was... Okay, give me your Canadian... give me your Canadian... Is he like from Nova Scotia or something?
Yes.
That's like Canada, right?
It's sort of... It's kind of like Canada light.
It's right there on the...
It's not that far from
Eastern Seaboard,
US,
right?
US, right? Yeah.
Right.
It's like
But...
Isn't it just basically like northern Maine?
Something like that, Like that. I mean, he would be like, we're about to find out.
that's like Russian.
A boot.
That's a Russian Canadian right there.
Oh, well, I mean, they say a boot a lot.
They do say a boot.
But they're pretty close to Russia, right? I mean, they're up there high. And then they just got to cross the Atlantic. And then Russia's right there, right?
Why don't you bring up a globe or something, spin it around a little bit, take a look.
No, I'm just saying.
One, two, three. Fourth down.
They're like the vice president candidate. She can see it from her doorstep.
There it is, ladies and gentlemen. The great Mark Schlereth.
Yeah.
The Nuggets got a win, but to hear Michael Malone talk about it, it was a loss after they gave up a whopping 44 points in the third quarter to Utah after building a 78-44 lead at the half.
We'll take the win. You know, we've been struggling within our division, so now we're 6-5 in our division. We're 8-1 out of the break. We have 18 games to go, but, you know, it's all about creating habits. In that second half, we did not create good habits.
So I thought that those comments after the game were kind of curious. For a team that's a defending champion and all that, and just came off a great win over the Celtics the other night. They're 8-1, they're 7-1 going into this game. After the All-Star break, they've been locked in, while a lot of so-called contenders in the West have just been kind of slogging along. So I found his comments kind of curious. Thought they were a bit over the top. But one thing I will give Michael Malone, and I've been steadfast in this over the years, man knows his team. Man knows what buttons to push. So even though I thought these were a little bit over the top, he knows his team. And until I see proof to the contrary, I will believe that he'll get the response he wants. Poor Toronto will get crushed tonight. By the way, Bruce Brown back. Now that's going to be fun. We've seen the reaction whenever guys come back and get their rings and they get out to half court, they get the rings, and then the rest of the guys come over and mob them, and it's always been good with everybody, but I think this one tonight's going to be
so. He hasn't already received his ring.
He hasn't come here yet. He got traded from Indiana,
right? Well, I mean, they didn't come here within. They played when he played at Indiana, right? Earlier in the season,
correct?
But it wasn't here,
right?
Okay.
By the way, he did not play in their recent game over the weekend, resting a knee. But he had played the game before that, so I think that was one of those. Veteran, but his numbers are down. Guy like Bruce Brown, just not gonna. You need him on a contender, you know, to really feel the impact of a guy like Bruce. And I think for Bruce to be Bruce, he needs to be playing for a team that's got
something
to play for.
It helps when you come in and you spell a guy like Murray, and you're playing the 2-man game with Jokic. Helps you quite a bit because the focus all goes to 15, not Carmelo.
No, what, Carmelo Anthony wore number 15?
Yeah.
Who told you that?
Greatest 15 ever in here in Denver. Was it
what?
Carmelo? Jokic or Tebow? Oh, my. So much to think about. Not.
That'll do it for Four Down Territory, our tour around the Denver
the Mount
scene.
Rushmore of 15.
Yeah, right. We'll update the latest from NFL free agency for you and reset what's happening on the Broncos quarterback front, including the inevitable Sean Payton is in love with this guy rumor. That's next.
Ever since we got Xfinity, we have Wi-Fi all over the house, even in my hiding spots.
Ha! Found ya.
How?
That's wall-to-wall Wi-Fi from Xfinity. Now through March 21st, get started with 200 megabit internet for $25 a month for 2 years with no annual contract and get Wi-Fi equipment included. Go to Xfinity.com, call 1-800-XFINITY or visit a store today. Requires paperless billing, auto pay with stored bank account. Restrictions apply. Taxes and fees extra. After promo, regular rates apply to internet service and Wi-Fi equipment. Actual speeds vary.
Denver Sports Station. 104.3
The Fan presents. Hey, Monday morning brain cramp. It happens. Bruce Brown did get his ring when he came back here with the Pacers. Ironically enough, it was his last game. It was his last game with the Pacers. And then he got traded literally a couple days later to Toronto. So he did come back here in the middle of January. Got his ring, and now he's with the Toronto. Toronto in town tonight to take on the Nuggets. As off until tomorrow night, when they kick off a road trip in Calgary, seeing one of their old guys in Naz Kadri.
Calgary.
Who has made his return here. So reaction already coming in from the NFL world on Russell Wilson going to Pittsburgh, a one-year deal, veteran minimum, 1.2, and the Broncos, full Rockies Nolan Arenado style, will be a pain. Russell Wilson to play for the Steelers. Some 37.8 million dollars of the 39 that was owed to him this year. Pittsburgh picking up the tab for 1.2, and the Broncos on the hook for the rest of it. Dan Orlovsky on ESPN and FOS, friend of Stink. His immediate reaction to the move?
It's Russell Wilson. Today's a facts over feelings day, okay? Number one, love the signing for both sides. Number two, Pittsburgh will get the best quarterback play that they've gotten from Russell Wilson from a quarterback since 2020. That was the Big Ben year that he had before the injury. Number three, if Russell plays the way for the Steelers next year, the way he did this past year for the Broncos, they will win a playoff game. And the last thing is this. Here's the challenge for Russell Wilson. Go be the 2019 version of Ryan Tannehill. When he came over from Miami, took over under Arthur Smith, he was a top five quarterback no matter how you look at it when it comes to stats and production-wise. And we know Russell Wilson, in many ways, is a better player than Ryan Tannehill. This is a great move for both parties.
Boy, this is going to really test the whole fit theory, right? The importance of fit and the idea that many quarterback careers flamed out or never even got started because it was never a good fit. Because Sean Payton didn't want anything to do with Russ because it wasn't a fit for Sean. Orlovsky's insisting that Russ will be a fit for Mike Tomlin in Pittsburgh. He predicts them to win double-digit games and win a playoff game.
I think it's more about Arthur Smith being the offensive coordinator there and what he was able to do with Tannehill. Now, remember, Tannehill had the advantage of having Derrick Henry in his backfield, just absolutely beasting people. So a lot of what they did does fit what Russell does. I mean, they did a lot of RPO game. The issue that you get into with the RPO game, Mike, is there's a lot of anticipatory throws in the middle of the football field. Now, listen, it's a one route. It's a lot of that RPO stuff is off of one. There's a one receiver route tree, if you will. You're looking at one dude the entire time. So do I believe that Russell can execute that? Absolutely. I believe that. So there is a fit from that standpoint if, they can run the football and they can be a big physical bully on the offensive side of the ball. If Pittsburgh can do that and they control the tempo and control the line of scrimmage, but, I go back to Ryan Tannehill in that year. I mean, they had Roger Saffold's one of the best guards in football. Their offensive line was a bunch of beasts. They dominate the line of scrimmage. And so if you can have that and you can play great defense, I've said that, I told you this before. Do I think they win 10 or 11 games with Russell Wilson at the quarterback position if they have a, you know, top five defense and a top five running game and they run the RPO game and they run the run action play action game? And yeah, I do. Do I think that Russ is going to carry them on his back and win from the pocket? No, I don't. And ultimately, when it comes to winning a championship, and in that the criteria we're going with, if it comes to winning a championship, Sean Payton said this in the offseason. One of the reasons they're moving on from Russ, you got to have a quarterback that can beat a team from the pocket.
Well, Sean's getting what he wants. And if it is all about fit, you're right. Sean should have a quarterback that he feels is a fit for him. Russ wasn't. But boy, Sean better be right. Sean better back it up. Everything Sean bragged about at the combine, how I'm counting on the fact that we're smarter than other people at this, he better be right. Because if you're saying that Pittsburgh could be a good fit for Russ, and he has success, and the Steelers have success, and Sean Flounders here with his handpicked guy or guys, whew.
Who's got it?
It's going to be a career killer for Sean.
Who's got it?
There goes the Hall of Fame.
Who's got it easier? Sean here in the AFC West with Jim Harbaugh and Herbert with...
Ooh, good question.
With Kansas City and Mahomes, with the Raiders and quarterback to be mentioned later? Or does Russ have it easier with Tomlin in Pittsburgh when you have Cleveland, who is a playoff team, despite playing three quarterbacks, Deshaun Watson back, with Cincinnati and Burrow, with who else is in their division?
You got Lamar, you got Deshaun, and you got Joe Burrow.
Yeah, who's got it easier?
You're right. I think I'd rather be Sean Payton here.
Neither of them are very easy, but I'm with you.
Cincinnati finished last in that division with a winning record, 9-8, without Joe Burrow.
Correct.
You're right.
Joe Burrow's a bad man, too, by the way.
Joe Burrow's a real bad man. So Baltimore's going to fall out of bed and win 11 or 12 games.
Yeah.
Cincinnati's going to be back in the 11-12 window.
They'll probably be in the driver's seat in that division.
And Cleveland just showed that they can win 11 games with whomever they have playing quarterback.
Right. Plus now, I mean, how much better are they going to be now that they got Judy?
Good point. The difference maker.
Right.
Difference maker.
He's going to drop at least four to five sure completions.
Wow.
And step out of bounds on an easy touchdown.
Okay.
Remember that one in Kansas City?
Just keep in mind, there are enough of these players now going to be moving on that are going to have a chance to make Sean look bad.
There's a lot of guys.
Russ can make him look bad. Judy can make him look bad.
There's a lot of people in this town that
Cortland
don't like
Sutton
me.
Cortland Sutton, when he inevitably moves on?
A lot of people that don't like me.
Like you?
Yeah.
Oh, look at your timeline this weekend. Woo!
You know what they don't like about me?
They think you're mean?
They think that, and the fact that I got my own island because I'm right. Don't let my confidence offend your insecurity.
We got a Gabe Landeskog update over the weekend.
Landy.
Kind of left me going, what does that mean? Also, what is the status of CU and CSU basketball for March Madness as they get ready for their conference tournaments? All that coming up next.
Here's Schlereth and Evans with What's Trending right now.
All right, big story here. I guess locally, the news that Russell Wilson going to Pittsburgh to play for the Steelers. 1 year, veteran minimum, $1.2 million. Broncos on the hook for the remaining $37.8 million of his $39 million that is owed to him this season. ESPN's Dan Orlovsky thinks this will be a good fit for us.
I don't want to make Russell Wilson out to be, you know, Patrick Mahomes, but this is, that's why I get so, like, confused with the way that people spoke about the player last year. Right. What the conversation is about him as a person or the noise, I don't know. But just off player-wise last year, this is an ideal fit when you take the player and who he is right now, and you take the offensive talent and the scheme and who they are and want to be right now. Play-action pass-wise, that's still something Russell Wilson does at a very high level. That's the foundation of who Pittsburgh wants to be on offense.
You know, Russ is no dummy. This is a great, this, if there is a team out there that you can look to and say this would be the best fit for him, what have we known about Pittsburgh for a long time under Mike Tomlin? They play defense, they run the football, they play special teams. They're one of those teams that believe any possession that ends in a kick is good, and they really know how to shorten games, play close games, and then find ways to win at the end. And you've always said that's still something Russ can do. If you could keep the game close for 3.5 quarters, he's still capable of making a play or two that could get you over the hump.
Yeah, I told you when the Steelers went out and got Arthur Smith after he was released from Atlanta that was the best place. This is months ago. That is the best place for Russ. And I agree. I think that that's the best place for Russ. You know, that watered down style of offense, that run it first, run it second, set up your RPO, set up your play action game. That's what Russ can do. And you know, I'm a Arthur Smith fan. I like Arthur Smith, so I think that's a great fit overall. Great defense, great fit for Russ.
Now that Jerry Jeudy has been traded to Cleveland, 5th and 6th round picks, plus getting his $13 million salary off the books, some salary cap relief there for the Broncos. A reminder of what Steve Smith, the Hall of Fame receiver, had to say on national television about Jerry Jeudy.
I'm sorry for saying that you're an average wide receiver, that they eventually will move on, and when teams call me and asking, should they trade for you, I will say no, don't trade for Jerry Jeudy, because he's mentally unable to handle constructive criticism from people who watch specifically, can he be a wide receiver? He can be a wide receiver. He's a tier three.
Well, he goes to Cleveland, and now he is officially a journeyman. His career is at a crossroads. He is now a former first round pick. Do you believe this will be the wake up call?
No.
Oh, okay. Didn't even get the whole question out of my mouth. No, you don't see it happening. You don't think he's been humbled? Will be humbled by this?
No, he didn't take responsibility for his failures as a player. It's everybody else. It's everybody else's fault. I mean, we've got an epidemic of victims in our society and in the NFL as well. You know, the victim mentality is strong out there. That's all I saw all weekend. Poor Russ. I mean, people are absolutely trying to sabotage poor Russ because they don't want to win. They spent a ton of money on a guy, and they just don't want to win. So they're sabotaging him. You understand how stupid you sound, right? You understand how incongruent that is.
Don't worry. I'm sure that's not you.
By the way,
not listening. That's not you.
The same people who sit here and say, Sean is so egotistical, and he's a bad guy, and da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da. And then in the same breath, you say, and he tried to sabotage his quarterback? You understand that that's incongruent, right? A guy that wants to win, a guy that's that egotistical, that cares about his record, that wants to win multiple Super Bowls, wants to be the first coach ever to win a Super Bowl in the NFC and AFC, that guy purposely sabotaged himself and 52 other players and that whole coaching staff. You do understand how stupid you sound, right?
Michael Malone. It was a win over Utah the other night, but for Malone, it felt like a loss.
We'll take the win. You know, we've been struggling within our division, so now we're 6-5 in our division. We're 8-1 out of the break. We have 18 games to go, but, you know, it's all about creating habits. In that second half, we did not create good habits.
You know, it's funny, just kind
he's
of
got a little Sylvester in him, doesn't he? Every now and then he goes, habits. Does anybody else hear that?
I guess
a little
like,
bit.
Well, now I'm going to. Now I'm going to be listening for it.
Play the first part of that clip for me.
I got you.
Okay,
I got you.
Okay,
I got you.
I got you.
We'll take the win. You know, we've been struggling within our division, so now we're 6-5. We're 8-1 out of the break. We have 18 games to go, but, you know, it's all about creating habits in that second half.
Hear that? Habits. Six. There's a little bit of Sylvester in there for me.
Oh, my God.
Nobody else heard that?
Now it's all I'm ever going to be able to hear.
I wonder if it's just
moving forward.
I wonder if it's just dry mouth.
Yeah, maybe he had a little extra saliva there or anything, you know? But
I get some of that sometimes.
How about, though, the you got coming out of, going out of, into the All-Star break and coming out of the All-Star break, you had him saying, hey, we're all about the big picture here. We're not going to sacrifice trying to win every game possible and go for a number one seed. We're all about the big picture. We feel confident that we can beat anyone, anywhere, anytime, home or away. And yet, here we are, what now, 9 games into the post-All-Star break, and he's like, upset with 21-point wins over Utah. These are bad habits. We must lock down now. I don't know. There's a urgency that seems to kind of fly contrary to what he was saying coming out of the break, where it was more about big picture.
I don't know. I mean, I don't know that there... I don't think there's controversy. He just wants his team to play hard. Like he said, I'd rather have... I'd rather have a... What did he say? Something about pretty wins or ugly wins. I'd rather have ugly wins.
A pretty loss, yeah.
Than a pretty loss, but... He's just saying, man, I just want the intensity. I want that when you're out there, I want there to be a defensive intensity. And to let a team back in that's not that good because of our lack of, like, it's one thing to not knock down shots.
39 points.
I understand that.
Human nature's human nature. There's no way you can build a 38 point lead, go into the half, sit around. Everybody looks around and goes, we're up by 38. And human nature expect you to come out and just be still all out, laser focused for the start of the third. You're up 38 points against a bad team.
It's all right.
Human nature's human nature.
No. We're trying to avoid human nature. Well, we're trying to have that killer instinct.
They've got the killer instinct. They just showed it 2 nights prior. That's what's trending.
You must be a Jerry Jeudy fan, huh? You like guys that half-ass it. You don't like greatness. You don't like greatness.
You hot snot you. Wow. Okay. Wow, you went there. That's what's trending. Up next, I want to get to what Jared Bednar had to say about Gabe Landeskog. Apparently, there's a magic date in mind for any potential Gabe return. And the latest on bracketology for CSU and CU. All that, plus your text, coming up next.
It's Schlereth and Evans on Denver's Sports Station, 104.3 The Fan.
Wow, so much going on after a busy, busy weekend. A lot to react to. We welcome your feedback, your opinions, plenty of humor, snark, and opinions. Hit us up on the RamosLove.com text line, 303-713-1043. Pease in Temecula. Glad Judy's gone. Hopefully at least he can catch his plane out of town. I see what you did there. Apparently I'm being too sympathetic to players. Orange Slice Evans is out trying to kiss the players' boo-boos and tell everybody that it's okay. Big mean coach didn't mean it. Mike of Henderson.
Aww. Hey, what do you have to say for yourself? You've gone soft.
I haven't gone soft.
You wouldn't.
I have not gone soft.
Dude, that was soft.
I just found Michael Malone's comments after a 21-point win in which they were leading the Jazz 78-44 at half, fresh on the heels of beating the Celtics in an NBA Finals style game. I just thought that was a... I understand what he's trying to do. I just thought in this case, it seemed a little over the top. I don't want to make too big of a deal of it. Clearly, he knows his team. He's proven time after time over the years, whenever he's come out and ripped his team and called them soft, we've always had people like, uh-oh, this is how you lose a room. This is how you lose a team. And he's never lost a team. So clearly, he has his finger on the pulse of the team. I just thought, in this case, it was a little surprising. That's all. That he chose... that kind of performance, that kind of game.
He chose violence.
He came out with violence. By the way, when the last question was asked, the press conference, he just like picked up the paper and stormed off. I was like, wow.
Dude, it's amazing.
They might beat Toronto by 50 tonight.
You know what I love? Because it happens to me all the time. He talked about his father and what his father would have said. You know, the same old nuggets. Here we go again. Get a big lead. Then you guys just roll over and, you know, and don't protect it. You don't play right.
Okay,
go ahead.
It was embarrassing. You know, I can hear my father, who's up in heaven. I hope he's up in heaven. But every time we get a big lead, he said it. You guys are the same old nuggets. For 9 years now, you get a big lead, stop playing. Stop doing what got you the lead, and you let teams back in almost every single night. So I could, my father was right here tonight talking to me, saying, I told you so.
That's what drives me crazy. There are certain things that your parent, I don't know, I mean, I'm sure certain little things your parents used to say to you that as a kid drove you insane. But as an adult, now you're using the same things on your own kids.
The disappointed. They just talk to you in this tone, this like calm, quiet, measured tone. What you did really disappoints me.
Mm-hmm.
And you're like, no, yell at me, scream, throw something. Please don't talk to me that way. That's the worst.
The one, there's a couple.
And I have used that now. Yeah,
the couple things
and I'm
that
like,
have
devious,
gotten.
Devious.
Yes. The things that, but I'm talking about like with sports and, you know, well, maybe your parents didn't, you know.
All right. Really? Go ahead. No, go ahead, get the insult. No, you went halfway. Finish off the insult. Go ahead. Go ahead, please.
Good job, Mikey. The white ribbon. That's fourth place. Excellent work.
So you're saying that they found me underwhelming?
Yeah. No, like one of the things my dad used to say all the time, like whenever I get upset about like, I didn't get what I thought I deserved, accolades or whatever, you know, and I would start throwing around, oh, that other kid got lucky or whatever, you know, it was always my dad would say, luck has a smell of perspiration.
Yeah, I love that.
He'd just be like, dude, you know what? The harder I work, the luckier I seem to be. And he would just like, there was no victimization. It was all about responsibility. I'd do something, you know, and I would have some excuse for why I did it or whatever. And he'd just look at me and say, there is no right way to do something wrong. And you'd just be like, damn it.
How do I come back to that?
No explanations. Do your job.
Yeah, there's
I
no
don't have some snappy comeback.
Yeah, there's no comeback.
There's
that.
No smart aleck teenage comeback for something like that. Jared Bednar with an update on the potential Gabe Landeskog return.
He's not going to come back too early.
Sure.
It's just not going to happen. Like, he has a timeline that says you're not coming back before this date. Doesn't matter how good you feel, you know, and we're sticking to that. It's his career, so we're not going to play with that regardless of where we are at in a playoff series. And so that's number one. He will not come back before that date.
So what is that date?
Yeah, what is the date?
Well, I think if you want to extrapolate everything that has happened. So when he had his most recent knee cartilage replacement surgery, that was done on or around May 10th. And at the time, it was talked about as a 12-month injury.
12-month rehab.
12-month rehab.
Yeah.
So in my estimation, May 10th is the earliest in which he would return, which would be what? That would probably be second round of the playoffs.
Well, you think
probably
that
second round of the playoffs?
The playoffs
late
will start,
second round.
Yeah, the playoffs will start late April, like April 24th,
I think.
Yeah, I'm gonna say
around there, right around there.
So 3 weeks in, right? 3 weeks into the playoffs. So depending on how long the first series goes,
right?
Because if the first series goes 7 games, you're talking about what, 10, 11 days?
So their last regular season game is Thursday, April 18th.
Okay.
Versus Edmonton. No doubt the Connor McDavid versus Nathan MacKinnon MVP showdown.
Correct.
Remind me, by the way, to pivot at some point to what we predicted correctly about Stephen A. Smith. Remind me to come back to that.
Okay.
But, so you figure Thursday, April 18th, playoffs probably start that following Tuesday, let's say. All right? So that's what, the 19th, 20th, you know, 23rd or so. Uh-huh. Yeah. So you're looking at if May 10th or so is the earliest he returned, that's second round. Wow. Boy, you haven't played since June 26th of 2022 and you're going to jump into the second round of the playoffs? I like what he said, though, at that. He goes, hey, we're talking about a guy's career here.
Yeah, I don't think he's, I said it when he had the surgery, and I'll stick to my original prediction. I don't think you see him this year. I don't think you see him in the playoffs. That's just me. That's how I feel. I think his, the 5 years left on his deal is a little bit more important than him coming back for, you know, potential playoff run. That's just my gut feeling on that.
So Stephen A. Came out of the All-Star break looking, as we predicted, once the buzz from the Super Bowl ended, watch how ESPN, specifically Stephen A., would start pushing MVP candidacies of anybody not named Nikola Jokic.
Mm-hmm.
First off, it was Jason Tatum anointed. And Tatum, with his no-show, left Ball Arena the other day on a milk carton, have you seen me? And even Stephen A. over the weekend said, yeah, you know, his opportunity is past. You know, now he can redeem himself by winning a championship and being finals MVP, but his opportunity is past. So he's now looking, he even said this, he goes, I'm now looking at SGA, Shai Gilgeous-Alexander.
Mm-hmm.
Guess who he's now added to his MVP watch? He's created a new candidate.
A new candidate.
So because he'd been talking about SGA before.
Right.
Along with Tatum. It was Tatum 1 and then SGA 2.
And then Jokic was 3.
Well, in the anybody but Jokic listings, rankings, right, he had Tatum 1, SGA 2. SGA has now moved up to number 1.
Okay.
Who do you think's taken over the number 2 spot?
He hasn't elevated his number 3 guy automatically to number 2?
You would think, but right, no, it's anybody but Jokic. So okay, who do you think he's going with now?
I have no idea.
Come on. Yes. Come on, guess.
All right, who's had big highlights?
Who's had big highlights and who is in a position now to really carry his team?
I know exactly who you're talking about. Anthony Edwards.
There you go. Yep.
Are you kidding me?
No. Nope.
That's ignorant.
And now it's Anthony Edwards?
It's Anthony Edwards. Because think about it, it's perfect. I can see, and I give Stephen A. credit because this is the way the mind works and it's awesome. I have such respect for it because now he's like, all right, I got to come up with somebody else. Well, with Karl Anthony Towns going out for probably the rest of the regular season, this gives Anthony Edwards a chance to hoist the Timberwolves on his back and carry him.
Mm.
And that's what he's going to go with.
Right, right. Yeah, if he can keep them, with the number one overall seed and, you know, he can keep them in the playoff hunt and Anthony Edwards is, you know, had the cartilage surgery and he's going to be out for at least 4 weeks, but he's an NBA player, so you'll probably never see him again.
By the way, the Nuggets had moved ahead of the Timberwolves, by the way, in the standings.
Oh, did they?
Yes. So
that MVP, was a big shocker.
That MVP impact being felt right away.
What about the Thunder?
That's who. The Nuggets are one game behind the Thunder for the top spot in the West. Man.
8-1 coming out of the All-Star break.
And with Michael Malone just
right
riding hard on his basketball team, even after 21-point wins, it's a matter of when, not if, they take over the number one spot. Hey, we have our 5K bracket challenge ready to go and ready for you to sign up to win and play now. Because with the tournament coming up, everybody's going to be talking about their brackets. It's busted. I'm still alive. I still have 3 Final Four teams left. All the conversation that goes along with the upcoming tournament, we want you to be part of it. So sign up for our bracket challenge at denversports.com/hoops. Entry closes before the first game that Thursday morning, March 21st. And it's that time of year again when everybody's getting ready to fill out their brackets. The good news for you is that you have a chance to win $5,000 if you have that winning bracket. Just a winning bracket. Doesn't have to be a perfect bracket or anything like that. Just have the best bracket of all the fan listeners, and you will win $5,000. Head to denversports.com/hoops to sign up for the 5K bracket challenge. Speaking of hoops, the latest bracketology from one Joe Lunardi after the weekend looks good. for two of our teams. Even a chance of a third. Hang with me here. So he has Colorado State in, although as I've been telling Ramy fans, stop messing around. You're playing yourself into a position where you could be on the bubble. He's got them as one of the last four byes in. Then his last four in, he has CU as one of the last four in. He has CU playing in that, you know, the games, the 65 through 68 games, the playing games on Tuesday before the tournament starts on Thursday. He has CU as playing in one of those games. So he has both CSU and CU in. CSU is a 10 seed. Colorado is an 11 seed. So as of right now, they're both in.
Okay.
CU's playing really well. They have totally turned their season around. They've won five in a row, playing with a ton of confidence. I think they have a legitimate shot to win the Pac-12 tournament, the final Pac-12 tournament. I really do. I think they have a really, really good shot of winning it. CSU, just don't mess around. Just probably win at least one game, perhaps two, just to be sure.
Mm-hmm.
But don't leave anything to chance. And by the way, good luck to DU tonight. They're playing in the semifinals of the Summit League tournament against Omaha. Omaha!
Omaha! Omaha!
And the Summit comes with an automatic bid. Win the tournament.
Win the tourney. DU's in. So I guess the pile's in.
I guess there's only one thing left to do.
Win the whole damn thing.
So good luck. Good luck to the Rams, great. The Buffs. Good luck to the Pios. UNC the Bears. I think number two seed in the Big Sky tournament. Lost yesterday.
They didn't go down to the Vandals, did they?
Idaho State.
Mm.
Is that worse? Where's Idaho State located? If Idaho is in Moscow, Moscow. Remember I said it right. Moscow. Moscow.
Yeah, Moscow.
Where's
way
Idaho
north
State?
North in the little panhandle up there.
Yeah.
Idaho State's way down south in Pocatello.
Pocatello!
Yeah.
Man, Idaho has the coolest little names, don't they?
Pocatello.
Pocatello. Pocatello or Pocatella?
Pocatello.
Pocatello.
I think so.
Okay.
Boise.
Boise. Moscow. So congratulations.
Sam in Idaho.
Good luck to all the local college basketball teams.